Hi, this is Paul Pachter, President and CEO of Long Island Cares, welcoming you to another episode of our Breaking Bread podcast. Today, we continue with our legislative sessions, and my guest is New York State Assemblyman Keith Brown. We're delighted to have him here because he knows a little something about food insecurity and hunger, and he's a new member of the State Assembly. And so we're looking forward to this conversation. Assemblyman Brown, welcome to Breaking Bread.
Thank you so much, Paul. Nice to be here.
Always good to do it in front of an audience.
You're quite good at this. You have the voice for radio and podcasts.
That's better than having a face for television.
Yeah, exactly. I have a face for radio.
So let's begin. The legislative session just ended.
Not quite.
You're going back?
We have to go back for 2 days next week.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Unfinished business.
I guess.
There you go. How do you feel the session will end this year? Are you pleased with what you're able to bring back to the district, to the region, or we still have a lot of work to do?
No, we have a ton of work to do. Mm-hmm. You know, this session was strange. I'm a newer member. Mm-hmm. I'm in my second term.
Right.
I won election back in COVID in 2020, taking over for Andrew Rea. But this session was strange for me because I never felt like we got anything accomplished.
Mm-hmm.
We, typically we do chapter amendments in the beginning, then we work on the budget, then we do statewide bills, mm-hmm. and then we do local bills. And because of the delay with the statewide budget, it pushed everything back. So we never really got to any meaningful statewide bills. So, you know, and I've talked to people on both sides of the aisle, mm-hmm. and I said, I don't feel like we really accomplished much this year other than the budget.
Right.
You know? So, you know, being that we're here, you know, at Long Island Cares and the primary mission, you know, of your organization, I just always feel like we need to do more to help mm-hmm. people. I mean, when I first was talking with Dr. Fetterman up at Huntington Hospital and learned that there was people in our community that suffer from food insecurity,
sure.
you know, in 2023, that's astounding.
Yeah, I think a lot of people would feel the same way. You know, we have a satellite in Huntington Station.
Mm-hmm. I used to live right across the street, actually.
Oh,
literally on Cottage Court.
Really?
Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully when you're in the neighborhood, you know, just stop in, say hello. It is one of our more busiest satellites, and we have 7 in total. But I think for the issue that we focus on in terms of food insecurity and hunger, we had a pretty good year with New York State.
Yeah.
I mean, the $22 million that was invested last year for the Hunger Prevention Nutrition Assistance Program, we advocated for it to be put back in the budget in order to raise the base funding for that program, which supports most of the hunger relief work in New York State. And that was a wonderful thing that it was done.
Mm-hmm.
The $50 million for Nourish New York, that's now permanent. It's law. And that helps a lot of our agricultural industry here on Long Island and certainly our fishing industry as well. So with that being said, we had a good year, but still people are struggling. And mm-hmm. we're still seeing large numbers of people coming to the community pantries and to the soup kitchens and certainly to Long Island Cares as a result of economics and still the continued cost of living here in the region.
Mm-hmm.
What were you hoping for in terms of any major victories to come back to your district this year? Was there something in particular that you were advocating for?
Well, there were several things. One is a mentorship program that I started. A lot of my work dwells around young people and alcoholism and substance abuse because I'm the ranking member of that committee. And I started a pilot program at Northport High School for teens and I got the idea from when my son was attending St. Anthony's. St. Anthony's High School does a great job with a mentorship program mm-hmm. that's peer-to-peer.
Right.
Northport had one that was faculty-to-peer, and I got the idea. I went to the superintendent who I knew growing up, and I said, I got this great idea. And I had also spoken to Harvey Epstein, who's a member of the other majority conference, mm-hmm. and he's from Brooklyn. And he gave, he did a proclamation on mentorship. And I went right over to him afterwards and I said, Harvey, I want to talk to you about this. I got this great idea. He loved it. So when I went to the superintendent of Northport, Rob Banzer, he said, Keith, I love it, but we need some money. Mm. So when I got some grant money, I was eager to call him. I think I ran right to my phone, picked up and called him, and I said, I got the money. So we started that last year.
Mm-hmm.
And since we started that, we have Harbor Fields High School has picked it up, and so is Cold Spring Harbor. And I was working with Harvey to try to see if we could get money in the budget for that, because mm-hmm. I just feel, especially in today's day and age, what's happening with our teenagers, you know, we have unbelievable high numbers of kids who are abusing substances. Mm-hmm. We have the highest rates of suicide that we've ever seen. Yeah. And COVID just exacerbated things.
Yeah.
And what I love about the peer-to-peer program is that it helps any incoming freshman link up with someone, have a connection to the school mm-hmm. community immediately, so that the 11th graders mentor the 9th graders.
Right.
And then when a 9th grader becomes an 11th grader, he mm-hmm. becomes a mentor to another mentee. So Northport loved it. I connected them with a group called Mentor New York that mm-hmm. operates out of upstate New York. And I included Harbor Fields because Rory Manning, the superintendent over there, was very interested in it. And I had a woman come into my office, and she told me she was in Cold Spring Harbor. She was working on some issues with teenagers. And I said, you know, I got this great idea. If you want to float it to Cold Spring Harbor
mm-hmm.
schools, superintendent, that'd be great. So it turns out that the former Northport principal is now the principal at Cold Spring Harbor High School. Mm-hmm. So when I told him all the people I was working with, you know, he knew them and he was interested. So then I just got some grant money to start it up in both of those high schools. And I'm kind of, you know, trying to, you know, plant seeds all around, mm-hmm. you know, sure. Long Island.
Yeah. 'Cause
there's a couple school districts that do it. I think one out east I know does it. And, you know, one of the great things is you'll learn about so many different projects that are happening and, you know, you could really like help connect people.
Mm-hmm,
you know, that's
sure.
the best part about the job. And so I feel, you know, what I want to do is, and we have Harvey, I spoke to him and I said, I really want to get a phone call with the Department of Ed
mm-hmm.
and see if we could take this mentorship idea, you know, statewide. And he loved it. So we're in the process of putting that together. But if I can't do it by top-down approach, mm-hmm. then I'm going to do it from the bottom-up approach.
Oh, sure. And even, you know, it's such a valuable program how you describe it, because I remember when I was going to high school as a freshman, it's scary.
So that's what actually gave me the idea,
yeah.
because not to mention, you know, seeing how great it was for St. Anthony's, but I remember the first day I walked into Northport High, and Northport has we call it the Commons. You
mm-hmm.
know, it's a huge room right as you walk in the door. And I, you know, I was not a wallflower, but I walked in and I remember feeling overwhelmed,
mm-hmm.
you know, because the student body in high school, you know, it was three junior middle schools put together.
Right.
And, you know, it was overwhelming. And I was like, holy cow, you know, like, it's like, where do you begin?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so if I felt like that, I felt like there's other kids that feel like that.
No, absolutely. You're 100% right. What are you hearing? I mean, you've been up there. This is your second term.
Mm-hmm.
So you've been up there now. Is it 3 years or 4 years?
Three years.
What are you hearing from your district, you know, in terms of what their needs are? I mean, to work with excellent schools like St. Anthony's and to be able to bring some creative programming into your community, that's really, really commendable. But what are you hearing in addition, you know, what are your constituents telling you? And I can already hear the first thing, the cost of living here.
So I wasn't going to start with that. I was going to finish with that. The first thing I'm hearing, believe it or not, is about vaping and vaping stores.
Really?
Legalization of pot,
mm-hmm.
Quality life, and the high taxes.
Yeah.
Those are probably the four main areas that most of the calls that we get are about. So I actually just worked with the town of Huntington to establish an ordinance for vape stores
mm-hmm.
to at least get them a little more regulated and right. keep them away from schools and churches
mm-hmm.
Because we have an overproliferation of them. As you drive on any main arterial road, you know, in Huntington, you,
mm-hmm.
they're everywhere.
That and foot spas.
So I am working on two bills, though, that I want to have them regular. One of the things that came out of the budget was that with the legalization of cannabis,
mm-hmm.
that if you are trying to get a cannabis license and you have another state license, say for a lotto or mm-hmm. a liquor license, and you're found to be illegally selling cannabis, then you will never get a cannabis license. You're okay. banned for life. So I thought of that with respect to the vaping. Mm-hmm. And try to tie that in because, you know, many of the vape stores opened up with the hope that their, you know, area was going to mm-hmm. have legal right. cannabis sales. Many of the towns opted out. Some didn't, you know, mm-hmm. four towns didn't. So, and I'm also working on a way that the towns can kind of control the growth or slow down the growth of vape mm-hmm. stores a little bit. So that's those. You know, when it comes to marijuana, I spoke on the floor recently. My two main areas are protecting kids. I mm-hmm. think the law that was passed when I first started my first year was extremely weak. You know, I let the bill sponsor know that. She's also the majority leader. And I also think it's very weak when it comes to protecting motorists from people who are driving while high. And so I actually, I'm hopeful because after we had our debate on the floor, you know, I told her that I thought it was worthwhile to have, you know, maybe some hearings around the state.
Mm-hmm, right.
So her office reached out to me and we're planning on meeting after session ends. And I said, I really want to work with you to come up with a series of bills that we can pass on one day, say mm-hmm. next January or February. We do it for Earth Day. We do it for Disabilities Day. So I want to have a couple of days in session next year, one for vaping awareness,
mm-hmm.
one for suicide awareness, one for what's called co-occurring disorders, integrated mm-hmm. care for
right.
people that have behavioral health issue mm-hmm. and a substance abuse issue. And really, you know, try to pass like a slate of legislation because the problem in Albany that I've seen in the first 3 years is that it's a Band-Aid approach, right? We apply a Band-Aid here, but we never take a comprehensive look at things. And then we never get all the stakeholders in one room mm-hmm. and say, this is what we're thinking of, you know, and, you know, what say you,
mm-hmm.
you know, and make sure you get the input from everyone who it affects so that we produce the best legislation possible.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, you know, the Albany way, which I think is the backwards way, is, you know, to pass the legislation and see what the impact is.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that's a good way to govern and create public policy.
I would certainly tend to agree with you. You know, interesting enough, the current success that we've had with the state legislator regarding the hunger prevention program, that was a 15-year battle. You know, it took us 15 years to get to the point where the state heard us finally say, you need to increase the base funding for the Department of Health to address the issue of food insecurity because it has become a national health crisis. And we're working very closely with Catholic Health Services, North Shore Health, in terms of addressing food insecurity in the emergency room when people show up to the hospitals for one reason and one reason alone. They need something to eat. And they know if they're in the ER for 4 hours or 6 hours, they're going to be fed. Mm. And that's not the proper use for an emergency room. When you say holding public hearings on things like vaping or things like, you know, substance abuse or codependencies,
mm-hmm.
that's really important because the community knows what they're seeing. You know, parents understand where their children are making perhaps poor choices mm-hmm. in their lifestyles and things to do. So I applaud the idea of sponsoring public hearings and getting input because things that you just described really do take a comprehensive approach. It's just you can't keep putting Band-Aids on, you know, problems. One of the things that we were encouraged this year in terms of the state budget was the $1 billion for mental health.
I was going to mention it.
And, you know, I worked in the mental health system for 27 years, and there was never enough funding coming out of the state for mental health services, whether the services wound up, you know, focusing more on community care as opposed to hospitalizations. As a result of COVID, people now realize that, you know, the issues that the pandemic brought to us, the depression, the paranoia, the difficulty sleeping, not knowing, you know, if you're ever going to go back to work or what have you, if you're going to get sick, people that have died around you. So I applaud the governor and the state for investing the $1 billion. The issue now becomes, how do we spend it smartly in the community? Mm-hmm. And you have some excellent organizations in your district who do this work.
Yeah.
So how do you think we're going to do with this? Where would you like to see the money invested?
So right now, my office is looking at, there's a couple plans that came out of the budget that are on the OMH website. So, you know, I'm trying to catch up with what they have put out there. But, you know, when it comes to mental health, the system radically changed, you know, 50 years ago. And
yes,
we, you know, went from, you know, having a centralized system where we had psychiatric centers, you know, especially here, right, you know, in Suffolk County.
We had three
major ones.
Yeah.
You know, to a more distributed method of care where we put people, you know, into the communities, and the idea being that the more they were involved in the communities, the less, the more, the easier it was going to be for them to become part of back into society, you know. And, you know, I think that's had mixed results. You know, and, you know, we have, I mean, the system is just so broken, you know, I don't even like calling it a system because of, you know, where it's at right now. But it's on every aspect of our society. You know, we have prison system that has many people that are mentally ill. You know, we have homeless people, many of whom are mentally ill. And then, you know, we see the impact of it all over the place. I mean, you know, we just had a horrible situation with Captain Russo, who was sitting on a sidewalk table having lunch, and a person murdered her who was mentally ill, who was living in the community, you know, and you know, she's no longer with us, and she was, you know, just an amazing person, you know, and the system failed her.
That I agree with you. You know, one of the things that always concerned me, there was nothing wrong with deinstitutionalization and making sure that there were community support services and clinics and residential programs and day programs available for people. From my vantage point, and I was a deputy commissioner in the mental health department of Nassau County, that the money often never followed the population into the community. You kept funding your state institutions, and now finally, after 25, 30 years, you're putting the money into the community, and it's going to take the agencies, it's going to take local elected officials, it's going to take the community in general to come together and talk about these problems open and honestly to make sure that the care that people need follows them through their entire life, where they go. And we look at that a lot with veteran services, and we have simply have too many veterans that are coming to Long Island Cares for food. And, you know, we do the best to try and coordinate with other organizations that are providing services to them. But without the necessary funding, it's going to be more difficult as we continue to go along. Assemblyman Brown, I apologize. That has nothing to do with you. It simply means we're out of time. I must tell you that this was the first interview I've conducted on the podcast that we didn't speak about food insecurity. We spoke about other issues, but you know what? Our tagline has always said, it takes more than food to feed the hungry. Mm-hmm. And the conversation about our young people, about, you know, people with psychiatric disabilities, these are all part of the same population. 65,000 children on Long Island struggling with food insecurity. Mm-hmm. I got to thank you so much for joining us today.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
I hope to have you back because I think there's a lot we still need to discuss. So maybe in a few weeks when the session finally is really over,
yeah,
we can come back and start the conversation over again. It's been a pleasure. And for those of you who enjoy the Breaking Bread podcast, please subscribe to us if you will. We are on Apple. We are on Spotify. We're on Amazon Music. And we're on Anchor Podcast. So until the next time, this is Paul Pachter, President and CEO of Long Island Cares. Go out there and take care of one another. We'll see you next time.